Give a good fall to you and Clark coming Lucas Gill and a shock to the show. I meet Tom Cormack with you as usual on a Wednesday night from 8:30 to 9. And as we always say at this time, hope you can stay with us right through until 9 o'clock. Well, coming up tonight, the main focus of our attention is the departure of Jim McGuinness as the Donegal senior manager. And I'm joined in studio here by Alan Foley of the Donegal Democrat. And we'll be also joined later by PJ McGowan, the former Donegal chairman, and of course the man who appointed Jim to that senior management position around this time 4 years ago. Frank Craig of the Donegal Post will be also joining us. And well, as of course, as well as the departure of Jim McGuinness and who is the likely replacements, we'll have a look at those as well. And we'll also look at the All-Star nominations, which were announced this morning. 9 Donegal men in that among the 45 nominations, with Paul Durkin, the goalkeeper, Neil McGee and Eamon McGee in the full back line. We've got Frank Midlin in the half back line. We've got Neil Gallagher and Oran McNeilis at midfield, and we've got Ryan McHugh and Michael Murphy in the half forward line, and we've got Paddy McBrearty in the full forward line. So 9 Donegal men in it, 1 Derry man as well, Mark Lynch, getting his nomination on the back of a very impressive Alliance Football League campaign with the Oak Leaf County. There are 2 Armagh in, is it, as well? Yes. So Dublin, of course, have 9, like Donegal. Mayo have 6, Monaghan have 4, Armagh have 2, Tipperary, Derry and Cork and Galway have 1 each. And well, interesting as well, of course, the nominations are out for the Footballer of the Year and the Young Footballer of the Year as well. Neil McGee, James Donoghue of Kerry and Dermot Connolly of Dublin, they're the three nominees for the Footballer of the Year. And well, I'd say the odds are very much stacked in favour of Donegalman picking up the Young Player of the Year, because both Ryan McHugh and Paddy McBrearty, both from the Kilcar Club, obviously that must be something unique, are nominated for the Young Player of the Year, as well as that dashing forward from Galway, Shane Walsh. So those nominations will be, those names, those awards will be presented on the 15-man All-Star team will be announced at the All-Star Banquet in the Convention Centre in Dublin on Friday, 2 weeks, I think it is. Friday 2 weeks. That's Friday, October the 24th. But we'll talk a bit about those later on. And indeed, we'll discuss as well the Donegal Senior Football Club Championship, of course, which is coming to the final round this weekend. And I know Alan Foley has been crunching a few numbers over the last few days, and he has looked at the permutations, and we may get time to tell you who is going through and who's not going through and who's in hot water and who's not. But we'll talk about those later. But first of all, Alan, first of all, delighted you could join us here tonight. And I suppose we're all still recovering from the surprise announcement of Jim McGuinness departing as Donegal manager. Does it come as a surprise to you?
It came as a little bit of a surprise, Tom. I think we would have thought it might have been another couple of weeks. You know, we thought Jim might have taken a little more time to mull it. But to be honest, Jim, I think Jim probably had his mind made up. God knows how long ago. Just even looking back, I think now at the images of Donegal Town on the homecoming, there was a lot of tears that night, Tom. But it seemed there was a sense of something climactic about that night, really, when you think about it. Even Jim, who always emphasised the group, Tom, that night he kind of, his parting words were, you know, hopefully there's more from this group to come. It was like he was slightly detaching from it even then.
Yeah, anyway, and Frank Ray, good night to you as well.
Hi, Tom, how are you?
How are you? Did it come as a surprise to you and the people in our draw?
I suppose in hindsight we probably shouldn't be too surprised at the decision, but just maybe the manner in which it broke late Friday night probably caught everybody by surprise. And as Alan said there, just knowing what we were losing maybe, and it being traumatic for everybody, probably was what kind of resonated with most people. I mean, it's a huge loss to Donegal football.
Yeah, but certainly he goes owing the county nothing.
Oh, absolutely nothing. I mean, you look back at the 5 years, I mean, the year with under-21s and the 4 years of the seniors, it was so demanding. I mean, from the outside looking in, for us turning up just the weekends for games, I mean, physically demanding, it would have been mentally demanding. I mean, those players were travelling from the length and breadth of the country as well, and even from further afield. So I'm even sure it was financially demanding too. So I mean, you look at all that facet that made that whole operation work, and it probably wasn't really sustainable at the end of the day, and everybody probably needed a break, you know.
Yeah, and Alan, I know a lot of people have been saying what happened, was there a row in the camp, or did Donegal, I even got a text last night, did Donegal sack Jim McGuinness? We all know that didn't happen. He went of his own free will, and you have a theory about that too, and about his going, and maybe that we should have read the signs from day one.
I suppose, Tom, like when Jim got the job in July 2010, you know, the one thing he kind of insisted at the time was he wanted a four-year cycle. He said just recently, and this is probably where we should have started reading between the lines, that these sort of cycles are 4 years for a reason.
He called them Olympic cycles.
Olympic cycles is right. And he said that's why the Olympics are every 4 years, because it takes that length of time for an athlete or a group of athletes to condition themselves, you know, get themselves to that level. He also said before the All-Ireland final this year that the plan from day one was to reach the 2014 All-Ireland final. That's kind of where they saw the climax. We kind of maybe overachieved a little early by winning the All-Ireland in 2012. So people had said they hoped Jim came back for 1 year. The only kind of hope that I had was maybe he might have thought 2013 was such a write-off. Maybe that didn't even form part of a cycle. But when you look at it, I don't think Jim is kind of a man who half-bakes things. So I didn't really think see him coming back for 1 year.
It's strange you should say that he was probably planning when he came in, actually, was to win the All-Ireland in 2014. And obviously we won it 2 years ahead of schedule. And I recall, actually, when Niamh Connell won the Donegal Club Championship, I think it was 2006, wasn't it?
2005.
Yeah. I remember doing an interview with Jim just after the game on the pitch side, and he said, you know, that this the winning of the championship was long overdue in Glenties, and nobody disagreed with that. But from where he was coming, and he was only the coach to Hughie Malloy, obviously, you know, but the plan was that it was the following year or the following year after that that they were ahead of schedule. So it's nothing unusual for Jim McGuinness to, but certainly it's been an unbelievable four or five years, as Frank said, Alan.
It's amazing, Tom, because if you think of all the big traditional counties in GAA, under Jim, we've played 24 championship games. We've won 20 and lost 4. Of those 20 victories, Tom, you've got Dublin, Cork, Kerry, Mayo. You've got Monaghan, Down, Derry, Armagh, Cavan, Tyrone. Just on a tot there on their All-Ireland titles, 90 All-Irelands between them. We lost 4 games, but we've actually beat them 4 teams throughout the journey, either before or after. So we've certainly given more than, or as good as we've got, at least.
And I suppose, Frank, as well, 2012 obviously was the highlight, wasn't it?
Oh, absolute highlight. But even looking back at 2011, there was such an accelerated rate of improvement that it caught us all by such surprise. And that journey even towards an Ulster title and even the victory over Kildare, I mean, that was an electric night in Croke Park with the lights and the rain and Kevin Cassidy's point. I think we'd been used to maybe such, you know, a difficult few years that 2011 was such a boost for everybody. But going into 2012, I mean, that whole journey and as it gathered momentum, I mean, that was the difference. I think even me and Alan discussed this year going into the All-Ireland final. In 2012, we were absolutely convinced before the Mayo game we were going to win. And there was a wee level of trepidation this year time, and I suppose ultimately it proved to be the case. But I think even on reflection, that All-Ireland final, it was one on another day that we probably should have and could have won as well. And maybe that's a wee disappointment. But as you said, Tom, I mean, unprecedented success under Jim in a four-year period. And he's left such an impression on everybody, not just in terms of the players, but even as Sean Dunyan spoke the last day, the effect he's had on people, I mean, indirectly, people going back to education, people with mental health issues. He's been such a tonic to the county. And you know, it coincided with a time when people were struggling too in so many ways in terms financially and the Celtic Tiger and that whole crash. So it was a great lift to the county in so many different ways.
Yeah, the recession kind of passed us by, didn't it?
Well, we've never had it. We didn't get to Dublin for days out when we had more. And then Jim spoiled us with trips to Croke Park when we hadn't got money.
Yeah, you had it all saved, Frank. You were ready for the day. Tell me, you know, we all know where the team came from, and it's been well chronicled. You know, where they were in 2010 when Jim came in. What did he bring to the table that brought such a massive transformation?
I think he brought a belief and a conviction, and I suppose Eamon McGee's comments first that maybe he didn't really buy into it and he just wondered, was this another manager? He must maybe talk on the talk. But I think when Jim came out with his back, maybe back to the wall and taking on the RTE panel after that, their Antrim game in Ballybofey, when they were very critical of the Donegal style of play, and Ryan Bradley in particular came in for not himself criticism, but getting a man of the match award that maybe nobody deserved. I think people stood up and took notice that this was somebody that meant business. And I think, you know, as well as being such a tactical, aware coach, I mean, he was charismatic too. It's so many elements. I mean, you were part of many press nights sitting down there when we hung on every word for 30, 40, 50 minutes, just listening to Jim speaking. And I think in terms of looking to replace him, I mean, people say it's a difficult task. I would argue this is almost an impossible task. And it's one that faces the county board now. And I mean, in the last few days contemplating and talking about who can come on there and fill that breach, it's very hard to pick names, you know, out of the air, really.
We'll come to that a little later, Alan. You know, as you said there, Frank. You know, and he emphasised, you know, what Jim brought to the table, and nobody can doubt that. And I know you've talked to the players, and Frank has talked to the players. What are the players telling you that he brought that was different?
They keep on hating off rain on the Tom, so they don't really tell too much. But it's funny.
I know they do.
No, but it's just funny. They just. They just kind of believed in everything. Like, we were chatting to a couple of players before Donegal played Dublin this year, and I was saying, gee, you know, it's a big ask. We had seen Donegal, you know, fall over the line against Armagh while Dublin hammered Monaghan. And the way they spoke, it wasn't cockiness or anything, but there was a conviction in the way they spoke and a belief in what way Jim would have them drilled. They were in Johnson House, you know, for a five-day training camp. And, like, there was never any arrogance about them, but I think the players went out on the pitch that day against Dublin absolutely 100% convinced they were going to win that game.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, you're listening to the GAA programme here on Highland Radio with myself, Tom Cormack. My special guest in studio tonight is Alan Foley of the Donegal Democrat, and we were joined on the line from his home in Ardra by Frank Craig of the Donegal Post. And I'm say I'm joined now by former Donegal chairman and indeed former football manager and player with Donegal as well. And if my memory goes back far enough, he was a member of that first Donegal panel to win an Ulster title back in 1972. PJ McGowan, good night to you.
Good night, Tom. I wasn't involved in 72, it was 74, actually.
74. And you and I said I got my years wrong, but sure. Anyway, you're the man credited with seeing maybe what others hadn't seen before, and you appointed him to the job. Maybe you remind us about that process and how it came about.
Well, as you know, Tom, Jim had applied for the position a couple of times prior to that, and I would have been very struck by his organisation even at that stage, you know, and presenting himself with a laptop and so on, and just how he laid out his plans. He really was talking about more or less professional type footballers at that particular time. And then, of course, when Jim took over the under 21 side, he brought into an All-Ireland final, which they should have won actually, only for the width of a crossbar and the fact that there had been a considerable amount of illness in the camp in the lead up to that Dublin match. And where he had brought that team from was remarkable, and it was just a natural follow on that after Cross Madeleine and the debacle that was, really, from a Donegal point of view, that there weren't that many people clamouring to manage Donegal, and Jim, sure enough, put his name forward. And I think that
was the third time, was it?
This was the third time, Tom.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Jim, you know, was the obvious candidate, and it was E. Martin, my Farry, Grace Boyle, and myself that spoke to Jim at length about his plans, and we would have been quite impressed with what Jim had to say, and his planning and his attention to detail over the ensuing period was just remarkable.
Yeah.
And it took him a little bit of time, you know, to get things the way he wanted them. But obviously, everything that Jim had learned in his education in Tralee, in Jordanstown, and in John Moores in Liverpool, where he did his master's degree in sports psychology, he brought all of that to the table, and really, you know, had brought a new level of planning to football that we had never seen in Donegal before. And the remarkable thing is that after a little bit of time, all the players really bought into it.
Yeah.
Now, he was maybe fortunate to have had a number of younger fellas involved who were with him at 21 level, and quite influential they were as well. And I was delighted then to see that the more established members of the squad actually really totally bought into what Jim was saying to them.
Yeah. And tell me, what was he like to work with? Because, you know, let's be honest about it, PJ, officials are seen as pretty straight-laced and, you know, certainly not people maybe who would be as advanced in their knowledge and technology and all that type of stuff as Jim was. It was a big leap of faith at the same time.
It was, and I mean, Jim had made demands on the board, I suppose, that before this we wouldn't have been used to at all.
Mm.
He was just single-minded in where he was going, and I'm glad to say that a number of those things that Jim requested we were able to deliver on. Some we weren't able to deliver on, but I would have to say that he was always a gentleman. One of the things that Jim really wanted big time at an early stage was strength and conditioning. And while it had been tried before with fellas doing weight work in their own local areas, I think there was never really a follow-up to ensure that it was actually happening. And Jim was very, very adamant that Adam Spear was going to be a key man in this area. And that Adam really went around morning times, early mornings, to various venues, discussed programs with people in those venues. And just the fellas really were knuckling down and doing the training that Jim had laid out. There was an individual sort of a plan for each of them. But he was very, very clear-sighted in where he was going, very singular-focused. And I suppose all the great managers in various sports have had that same single focus, Tom. If you look at just Alex Ferguson in soccer, and you look at, you know, people in various other sports that have been very, very successful in management, they've just had that single focus, a belief, not to be channeled away from what, you know, their clear ideals were. And I think it was Eamon McGee was reading somewhere where he put that very, very clearly, that he was a driven man in many ways. And all of this drive that he had really bounced off the players as well. And the other great thing about it, Tom, is that we had been used in the past to all of this information coming out from Donegal camps about one thing or another. A lot of it may be exaggerated by people once it got out. The players actually kept things in-house, which was great.
Yeah.
And really, you know, Jim had them eaten out of his hand in many ways, and they in turn showed great respect to Jim. And it was an absolute great time to be involved. And Jim really had to bring a total new concept to Donegal football. I mean, their training sessions, Tom, for example, would have lasted maybe 3 hours. And a lot of that time would have been spent with Jim talking to players out in the middle of the field, away from the ears of everyone else who would have been watching training sessions. And they would have worked, they would have talked, they would have trained. And you could hear Jim sometimes getting his message very laudably across to players. But the great thing was that the players bought in totally to Jim's gospel.
And you mentioned there Adam Spear going around early in the mornings. Just to give listeners an idea of what time you're talking about.
You're talking about 7 o'clock in the morning or earlier.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea of the level of commitment that was involved, Carlis, he was living in Donegal town, working in the bank in Letterkenny. On maybe 3-4 mornings a week, Carl would be in a gym in Letterkenny, maybe 7 o'clock in the morning, train, have breakfast, have a shower, then go and do his day's work, and perhaps train maybe a couple of evenings in the week and weekends as well. Mm. I mean, that is an absolute professional way to live. And the difference with the professional athlete or the professional sports person is that they get time to rest up during the day. Carl and many more like him had to actually go through a day's work and put bread on the table. And, you know, players did that. And the good thing about it as well, Tom, is that they very soon started to see the results of that.
Yeah. Tom, I cried when I heard that Jim had given up. He's given us so much pleasure when he went to Croke Park. I think Rory Gallagher and Declan Bonner would be the best ticket. That's from Malcolm, and Malcolm texts us on 086-77-00-555 if you want to get in touch with us. Alan, PJ mentioned the point there about obviously Adam Spear and his role. The one noticeable thing about Jim and his management team was the professional people he brought in involved with him, Dr. Charlie McManus, Kevin Moran. It was the best of the best for everybody.
Yeah, he said at the very start too, Tom, that he wanted people with positive attitude. He didn't want people in moaning. And I suppose that group, and I suppose you have to commend them too, because that group is going to break up now as well. And like Jim obviously spearheaded that group, Tom, but like the commitment that those people put in as well was second to none. And I know that from a couple of the players chatting to them, they had such trust in, you know, the medic people, you know, with the physiotherapist, whatever had to be done, they had utmost faith there. And that is a testament to Jim, but also to that backroom team as well.
Yeah, and Frank, before we can be accused of being part of the Jim McGuinness Loyalty Society, you know, what happened last year? Last year wasn't a good year. It certainly wasn't a good year for anybody in Donegal, and certainly not for Jim or the team.
Yeah, Yeah, well, that's another thing too. We probably have to factor in for a manager coming in and looking at January, or even for Jim staying on for another season. I mean, the residual issues that spilt over into last year from 2011, 2012, like, you wonder, are they just around the corner again in 2015 after such another hard run, including an Ulster final one and an All-Ireland final? And for any prospective maybe manager coming in, that's something they're going to have to look at. I mean, there's a panel of players there now too, Tom, that have, you know, they've been used to the very best in terms of facilities and methods. It's going to take a really talented and, as we said, charismatic individual to ignite or motivate that group of players that's there now, because, as we said, for the last 4 years, they've been going at the optimum, as you said, boys like Adam Spears and gym work and nutrition and stuff like that. There's so many boxes to tick.
Yeah. Anyway, you're dead keen to get to the topic of who's going to take over. You must know something. Tell us.
Like yourselves, I know absolutely none, but I know just by looking at some of the names that's been bounded about in the bookies, I mean, most of them there are clearly non-runners. I mean, looking within the county, and I suppose the name that's at the top of the list now is Rory Gallagher, and I know he's a Fermanagh native, but I mean, he's been living and working in Donegal now, and he knows that scene really well. I think Rory would be one of the few people that would tick a lot of those boxes, but I mean, Rory's involved with Kilkiara there now, and I'm sure that's probably a really enjoyable project that he can get his teeth into, and it's got close proximity to his work and to his family. I mean, I can't see Rory Gallagher looking at that job and saying, yeah, you know, that's something I really fancy getting my teeth into. I think in the end up, we're going to have to look outside the parameters of the county, and that mightn't sit well with a lot of Donegal Gaels, but I think it's something that we might have to do.
Yeah, and in terms of Rory Gallagher, obviously, anybody else within the county? You see Malcolm mentioned Declan Bonner there.
Declan Bonner's done a great job with those minors. I personally like to see Declan stay at that job and keep bringing them lads through, because I think, I mean, talk about a cleansing period at senior level, maybe of 1 or 2 years, it would be a great position then for take some of those guys from the minors and under-21s and do a panel. It's still going to have people like Michael Murphy, Paddy McBrady, and guys, you know, Neil McGee and that there. I'd like to see Declan, you know, remain, because he did such a great job at minor level this year, and he knows that they're seen because he's been working so it's hard at it for the last 3 or 4 years. But I mean, personally, I'd love to see somebody like Tony McEntee and Rory Gallagher going in as a joint ticket, but as I said, I don't know if that there could happen.
Yeah, and Alan, your thoughts? Martin McHugh has been mentioned as a joint ticket with Rory Gallagher.
Yeah, everyone knows that Martin and Rory are pretty close, you know, the Kilkara Mafia, some might call them, but I don't know, I just think it's such a huge job, because like people forget that in Jim's first year, Tom, he basically didn't have a day job. Do you remember he used to have the consultancy firm, and then he basically shelved that idea just to give Donegal a complete go. That was maybe 2011, 2012, so the level of commitment here, it might take it maybe a joint ticket to even get to that level that Jim had, but it's very hard to say. I agree with Frank. I think probably you could see Maxi Curran staying on with the 21s, Declan Bonner staying on with the minor team where he's done so well. And I don't know. It's very hard to say. I think some of the names being bandied about at the minute are really just to try and maybe stimulate a betting market. You know, James Horan's name was mentioned. Damien Devers' name was mentioned. I'm not too sure if Damien would actually want to go for it himself. So,
And is there anybody from the Curran management, or you've mentioned obviously Maxi Curran, Rory Gallagher, they were the past management, Francie Friel. Is there anybody, you know, is there combinations that we maybe could come up with from the existing management and the previous management? Or
aye, maybe, like, you know, like the this year, you know, after Rory left, people kind of wondered where Donegal would go, but guys like Damien Devers, John Duffy and Paul McGonigal come in. Paul McGonigal's always had like a real good football head. He's always been an interesting man to chat to about football, but I'm not sure if he'd be willing to take that step as big, to tell you the truth, Tom.
Yeah. And PJ McGowan, you're still on the line, yeah, PJ?
Yes, Tom, yeah.
And what you were thought before we talk about the succession race, there's a lot of people saying, you know, maybe there's going to people sit back and see what happens, because maybe that team is spun out and maybe they're going to have to wait a few years. Are you in that school of thought? Or?
No, I'm not, Tom. I do accept the point made there, and I think it's a very good one, about what happened to us in 2013, and maybe will we see a similar thing in 2015. I firmly believe that the team were extremely tired in 2013, borne out by the achievements of the previous year, and that we could never really get to those heights in 2013. And also so many fellas carrying legacies of injuries from that long campaign and then the grueling club championship that occurred immediately afterwards. And Jim has said himself the number of players who missed training sessions in 2013, and that didn't happen in 2014. 2015, it's going to be very difficult for whoever comes in to try and, you know, get the best out of them in a period. I firmly believe that all the lads that are involved there, Tom, will stick with it. I think they all have a lot to contribute yet. I don't see anyone abandoning the ship. And I think there are still very, very good times ahead. One of the things that Jim has continually done over his tenure is to introduce young players to the side. He's done that in every year he's been involved. And, of course, Oren McNeilis and Ryan McHugh, even though Ryan was involved last year to a degree as well. I think that there's still maybe some talent there that could be brought in, younger talent that could be brought in. One of the things as well, Tom, that was very, very noticeable in the Jim McGuinness reign was the fact that there was no negativity whatsoever. And anybody in the dressing room, you know, spoke positively. There was never anybody, even in the backroom team, the support staff and everybody else, it was all positive. And I think that Jim has laid down so many good habits in Donegal that it would be an awful shame if we were to lose that completely. Mm. And I would like to think that, you know, what has been built up and set there would be continued upon by whoever else comes in. Mm. And by the way, Tom, I want to see that person who comes in from Donegal, not from Armagh or Down or anywhere else. Well, from Donegal.
Does Rory Gallagher fit the bill of Donegal?
Oh, he does, of course. Rory Gallagher has given great service to Donegal over the last couple of years. He's managing club teams in Donegal and everything else. He definitely does. But I don't want to see us going outside. And, you know, there's always people that like their name in lights at occasions, I guess. And I know the name of James Horn was suggested. I don't know where it ever came from. But I certainly want to see a Donegal resident, Donegal person managing Donegal going forward. And what's more, calling on the experience and expertise of the backroom staff that's there at the present time and trying to keep that going.
Yeah, you were a former manager yourself, I believe, in the past yourself. You have more time on your hands now. Could you be tempted back?
Not a hope in hell, Tom. I pay my money, I go to the matches and I enjoy them, and I've got tremendous enjoyment.
Yeah.
The job is huge, Tom, and the amount of time and the attention to detail that this requires, and I'm sure that basically many waking moments of the day Jim McGuinness was thinking about the Donegal team. It's not just the physical work of getting to training, and I've seen Jim arriving at a training session in Castlefin where Colin McFadden, his father-in-law, would have picked him up at the airport. The lads would have been out warming up in the field. Jim would have hurriedly got changed, out and taken his training session, and Colin would have driven him back to Belfast after the training session. He would have stayed in a hotel in Belfast and flown out to Glasgow the next day. That is a massive, massive commitment. But, you know, besides the physical time put in and so on, it's the amount of mental time and thinking time, planning, attention to detail, talking and working with players. And Jim had it down to a fine art, really, but it wasn't without a huge investment of time and energy.
Thank you, PJ. So PJ McGowan has ruled himself out as well. So that's probably the first man. I think James Horn was the first. You're the first from the county. James Horn was the first. Anyway, look at PJ. Thanks for joining us. We're coming to the end, and we're not going to get to talk about our All Stars or indeed our championship permutations. Hopefully, Frank Craig, we'll see a manager in place pretty soon, because it is pretty urgent now at this stage, isn't it?
Yeah, January's just around the corner. I mean, the Ulster Championship draws this week.
Anyway, that's it for tonight from me, from Tom Comeck, from my special guest, PJ McGowan, former Donegal chairman, Alan Foley of the Donegal Democrat, and Frank Craig of the Donegal Post. Paul McDevitt on sound. Until next week, Slán agus Banach.